Roll call. Deputy. There we go. Okay. All right. I'll start that over again. All right. We're going to start the meeting at 6:02. I'm doing roll call. And we have Mayor Sophia Aragon and Deputy Mayor Kevin Schilling, who are not present due to being at a conference for the city. Council Member Jimmy Mata is present. How about Holly Moser Guerra? I hope I pronounce your names. I'm sorry if I don't, and I'm gonna try my hardest here. All right, Savannah Sly. Okay, doesn't look like she's present. Javier Trouble.
He's but I've heard everything.
Okay. Stephen.
Here.
Heidick. Okay. Karen Veloria. All right. And Jeff Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, I'm here.
Harbaugh. Okay. I should have that on already. Harbaugh. Yep. And then City Attorney Garmin Newsom is here. And then also Nathan Hawthorne, our paralegal, is here as well. And I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of February 15, 2020.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor, please raise your hand or say aye. All right. Motion passes unanimously. All right, we're going to go into presentation by port on ordinance city codes related to aviation issues, and we have 10 minutes for that.
I believe that we need Mr. Dave Cat. There we go.
Good evening. Sorry it took so long to actually get the presentation to everybody today. But the reason why is if you take a look at the reference document that I provided with it, you will see the long list of land use, zoning, building, and height codes that have been adopted by a number of jurisdictions here locally in the area, as well as references to some documents, planning documents by PSRC, state code, and also the FAA in terms of what it does in terms of land use. Nate, could you, next slide, please.
All right, give me just a sec.
Ah, okay, thanks. Airports and compatible land use. So the objective of most of these codes is for land use planning is to make sure that you've got incompatible land uses essentially away from the airport and compatible land uses close by. And of course, those are handled by zoning laws, location, height and activity restrictions. So designating certain portions of a city or certain portions of an area where certain things apply. Obviously it's for safe aircraft movement and airport operations as well as protecting public health and safety and welfare. Next slide. So the foundation for planning around the airport, you've got a lot of different, in the end, it's local government that sets the zoning and the land use and the other items that control where certain things happen. However, it's still guided by federal law in the case of Federal Aviation Administration in terms of public safety, obstacles, things like that. State law, for the same reason, State Department of Transportation has an aviation division that regulates smaller airports, general aviation airports around the state. But the same rules apply in terms of trying to protect communities and and set some guidelines there. And then, of course, Puget Sound Regional Council on planning, regional planning for aviation and in terms of compatible use. Next slide, please. So there's basically three buckets that these codes fall into. The first, dealing with aviation noise or sound transmission, which are handled through building codes and airport operations. Aviation compatible uses, which is land use and zoning, and then aviation safety, which is building heights and obstructions. And there's a couple things that fall into that last category. Next slide. So under aviation noise and sound transmissions, most everything's handled through the building code. Most jurisdictions have adopted the international building code. And then those that are near airports have adopted amendments, local amendments to the international building code for properties within the Part 150 noise remedy boundary, the 65 DNL noise remedy boundary. Excuse me. Burien, SeaTac, King County, and Pierce County all have adopted codes that speak to that. Des Moines used to have a specific code regarding building what was required in terms of insulation and everything, but it was repealed back in 2014. One of the handouts I provided you is the old code, so you can see how extensive it was in terms of, and it mirrored a lot of what is already in the Burien, SeaTac, King County, and Pierce County codes. Some jurisdictions adopted codes consistent with airport operational noises, basically an air overlay area. So Seattle and Everett both fall into that category. Next slide. So the noise remedy boundary is that red boundary, that jagged boundary that you see. That's the northern part of the Part 150 footprint that stretches from the north in Burien all the way south into Des Moines. And the portion of the noise remedy boundary that's in the city of Burien is that blue outline, basically runs along the northern top of North SeaTac Park there, which is why it jogs over to the east. But that's the portion that's within that noise remedy boundary. So you get an idea as to if you choose to focus on anything, that's an area that you may want to take a look at or just even slightly outside of that. Next slide, please. So aviation compatible uses, the FAA has an airport land use compatibility planning. It's called advisory circular number part 150, 5190, 5190-4B. That circular, we actually shared with the local cities last year. They consolidated, the FAA consolidated what was about a half dozen different requirements relative to airspace and related to planning and obstructions, that building heights, that kind of thing. And they consolidated it all into this one circular. So it's all in one place. So when somebody needs to take a look at it for purposes of planning within your jurisdiction or trying to avoid some of the concerns relative to air safety, airspace safety, they're spoken of in there. Washington State under RCW 1412 speaks to airport zoning. Washington State Department of Transportation's has an airport mapping application. And in that reference document I provide you, there's a link that will take you there. You can actually plug in any kind of coordinate you want and it will in the vicinity of the airport, it will tell you whether or not it's something that the FAA needs to take a look at because of building heights or some other consideration. PSRC has done an airport compatible land use plan. And it was last updated a little over 10 years ago, but it's been around for a while, and it helps provide guidance to local jurisdictions in terms of the types of things that you would want to plan for other than residential in the vicinity of the airport. And then, of course, local government Burien, SeaTac, and Des Moines have specific zones for the port-owned property. We have, of course, in Burien, we have the Northeast Redevelopment Area properties 1, 2, and 3. 2 and 3 having been redeveloped, and Nero 1, of course, both the city and the port have an interest in seeing redeveloped in the near future. And then in SeaTac, under the interlocal agreement, everything is zoned either aviation commercial or aviation operations because the airport sits entirely within the city of SeaTac. In Des Moines, for the property that we own there, essentially the Des Moines Creek Business Park was zoned business park. So the city of Des Moines uses business park as the designation. There are some non-port properties that are within that same definition, but that's where the city of Des Moines has zoned that area. Everett, Tacoma, King County, and Pierce County, as I mentioned before, have these airport overlay areas, and these defined areas have a basically speak to everything from obstructions to planning to all sorts of elements related to the airport. What's allowed, you know, along the port, or what's not allowed near the airport in terms of construction. Next slide, please. Here's the zoning maps for the three areas. In Burien, the gray shaded area to the east on your eastern border there is the Nura properties. In Des Moines, it's the furthest east, it's the area that's kind of in red in the center there and to the east on the right, toward the right edge of the map there. And in SeaTac, again, it's all over the city. The gray is aviation operations zoning, and the light blue is aviation commercial zoning. Next slide, please. So aviation safety, the last bucket there. The FAA has a form. They have two pieces to the land use pieces. One is obstruction removal and one is avoidance. Of course, you should all be familiar with the flight corridor safety program that the port has undergone over the last several years to remove obstructions. Most of the obstructions in the Pacific Northwest are trees, unfortunately. But within a Part 77 surface, these different surfaces that define the airspace around airports, everything from regular operations to bad weather, inclement weather, and lost my train of thought, basically define those surfaces, and that's why trees at certain elevations have to be removed periodically. If someone wants to build something, the FAA has an online form 7460 that you can go in, you can put in the location, and it will tell you whether or not they're going to have a concern with what's being constructed at the height that you, at the height of the building that you're looking to build. That's true even if you're going to put up a crane, for example, in the construction of State Route 509, they're going to have to use a crane to help construct some of the overpasses or bridges that are going to be built. And so WSDOT is going to have to fill out the 7460 for each of the locations that they're going to have to erect a crane to make sure it's not going to interfere with the airspace. Washington State Department of Transportation has an airspace calculator as well. And RCW 1412.110 basically says local government can't provide a permit that would allow establishment or creation of an airport hazard or non-conforming structure or tree or non-conforming use to be made or become higher. So state law basically governs that safety of those on the ground as well as those in the air takes priority. In terms of local government, Burien, SeaTac, and King County all have similar provisions concerning height limits near major airports. That's actually how it's termed in your code. Des Moines requires developers to comply because it's further south with the FAA Part 77 regulation. Since we zoned buildings up to 200 feet in Pacific Ridge, which is one of the highest areas of Des Moines, any project there will have to have to fill out the form online to see whether or not it would become an impediment based upon those airspace restrictions. Seattle and Everett apply the height restrictions through their overlay district zoning provisions. Next slide. This is a map just to show you the airspace defined around the airport. So it gives you an idea. I can't tell you what the colors mean because they represent different things. I borrowed this from some of our planners, airspace and our ground planners, who are going to be doing a presentation to each of the planning folks from the surrounding cities coming up, I think in April. I don't know if they've set a date yet, but they'll be speaking to some of these very same things in terms of land use planning. The FAA has been concerned that a lot of jurisdictions haven't bothered to check to make sure that there would be no obstructions built in terms of the site height of buildings. So they want to make sure that everyone's taking that into consideration. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned before, I compiled an aviation-related land use, zoning, building, and heights code summary with links. In the document that I provided, there's a link that takes you to the online section of the code in that city's code or county's code or the state under state RCWs and even PSRC's airport planning update. The one thing that was not online, of course, was the City of Des Moines ordinance that was adopted back in 2007 and the provisions of that. So I provided a hard copy, well, an electronic hard copy of that. And again, I encourage you to take a look at PSRC's airport compatible land use document. It helps provide some guidance to you on that. Next slide, or is that the last one? And I guess I'm just available for whatever questions you might have.
All right, committee members, if there's any questions, please, if I can recognize you. Go ahead, Jeff.
Dave, could you go back to that slide that showed the noise remedy boundary? Or if you don't go back to it, you could just tell me what is the implication of being within that boundary?
So the noise remedy boundary is the boundary at which 65 day-night noise level that is part of the Part 150 evaluation for noise impacts on the surrounding communities. Homes within that footprint are eligible for noise remediation, as are apartments, condominiums, and houses of worship.
When you say they're eligible for noise remediation, you mean they're eligible to be evaluated to see if they qualify?
Correct. They have to test to make sure that there is noise above a certain threshold, 45 decibels indoors, to determine whether they're eligible for the remediation. Because if they can't lower the impact from the noise to below 45, it makes no sense to do. So,
okay, thank you.
Is there any other questions?
How many properties are remediated each year by the board?
We're down to most of the people who were eligible have taken advantage of it in terms of single family homes. There are a number of single family residents that are still eligible where the prior property owner may have said no, but a new property owner may want to take advantage of it. The port reaches out a few times a year to reach out to those folks to see if they have an interest in being tested to see if they can be remediated in terms of the sound insulation packages. I forget how many are scheduled, single family homes are scheduled to be done this year. And I don't remember how many are in Burien, honestly. Stan Shepard from our noise office would have the answer to that.
I think it was high single digits. I think you said 9 or 12, maybe something like that.
In Burien, yeah.
I don't know. And you
it wasn't a lot of single family homes. There aren't that many.
A lot of apartments, I think.
Yeah, there's a ton of apartments. And in fact, there was an apartment complex in Burien that had been acquired by the King County Housing Authority. And the King County Housing Authority, when they acquired the property, re-insulated the property and took care of the windows. And so when we went out to test it, it did not test above the 40, you know, at 45 or above. So it was no longer eligible. King County had basically done the mitigation work when they acquired the property. So that's an example. In Des Moines, King County Housing Authority acquired what was, I believe, called the Newport. I forget what the name of the apartment complex is named now. And that's going to be tested sometime in April, along with some others as well. So condominiums, apartments, and houses of worship are really the bulk of what's left, mostly apartments and condominiums.
And structures that have previously been remediated, is there follow-up to see whether or not the insulation or whatever the materials are, whether or not those things are failing or need to be upgraded or something?
Well, that's been talked about, obviously, over the last couple of years in particular, and the FAA finally provided guidance, I believe it was last year, early last year, that for homes that were insulated prior to 1993 that are within the current 65 DNL footprint would be eligible for testing to make sure that the insulation, the noise insulating properties still worked. Port Commission's first priority is meeting our obligations under Part 150. So trying to get these last homes, apartments, condominiums, and the few houses of worship that are within the boundary taken care of are the first priority. Our commission has expedited that work, and we are anticipating that in 2023, we will probably be acquiring a consultant to take a look at what it would take to stand up a program on re-insulation for those homes where the noise package is no longer working. So, but we're fronting the money. It used to be that we would have to wait for a federal appropriation to be able to do the work. The port has been fronting the money to do the remediation work, and then we have been getting reimbursed after the fact. So, and we have limits based on the amount of money that we have, obviously, to be able to do that work. So,
thank you.
Yep.
Is there any other questions from the committee members? I have a couple of them. So first of all, thank you for the presentation. I thought that was well put together, and making sure that we see the complexity of the port and how many jurisdictions and cities and, you know, other parts of government are involved. One of the things that I have, and I don't know if there's a website or somewhere we can go. So I know that there's a certain amount of homes that need to be basically remediated, and how many have already been remediated, and what's the plan to make sure that we're on task and making sure that these homes get remediated? Because what we're looking at is that we're going to keep these homes at 45 decibels of noise, or under 45 decibels of noise, but so insulation technically would not fail, because insulation, pretty much, you have quite a long longevity of insulation. However, the windows, you know, the argon gas may be a problem, but regardless, I'm just wondering, because, you know, I know the port only has a certain amount of money. We've been working on this quite a bit. Some of the infrastructure dollars that are coming down the pipeline. So I'm wondering if with these dollars that are coming down from the federal government, if we'll see taking a big chunk of what needs to be remediated, part 150.
Again, our primary focus is making sure that we meet our obligations under the last part 150 that was completed, and taking care of the homes that have not received any any kind of insulation package as of yet. So that's our first priority. And again, we don't know how broad the problem is in terms of the other. We would actually have to go out. We would need to be able to identify and then go out and test those homes to make sure whether or not they would qualify in terms of the noise. If it's still insulating, but there are other issues, I don't know what to tell you about that part of it. There is our noise office does keep track of how many homes have been insulated over the years, how many are eligible and we're testing. Same thing with apartments and condominiums. So
it would be great if maybe and I don't know, it'll be up to the committee, but I think it's interesting. I mean, it's hard work in making sure that number one, we identify the homes. But I think this is something that we as a committee can do as a city council is promote, anything that you have like on websites or, us personally, right? Talking to our neighbors. But it would be good to kind of figure out, what has been happening, because what happens, and I know that when I first got elected, it's like, well, what does the poor people do? I mean, and there's a lot, the port is a complex society, community, infrastructure, organism. And so, but it would be good for us, because I think one of the things that this committee was originally really put forth was to figure out how do we mitigate, the challenges that we have today. And so like knowing that we have some homes that still haven't been, that there still hasn't been remediation done, it'd be nice to figure out what can we do to amplify that. So I don't know if the department can kind of give a presentation to show, hey, this is where we started, this is where we're at.
I thought Stan Shepard had done that last fall, if I'm not mistaken, but if I'm mistaken, obviously.
It might have been, Dave, it might have been, last year was a busy year, but I don't know if the committee members remember that at all.
Okay.
I do. They told us that the currently identified houses would be finished in 2026.
Perfect.
It's supposed to not just houses, but the apartments and condominiums as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand that.
No, and Jeff, there's been major dollars going into the infrastructure. So I know that, a lot of the contract, I'm in the construction world and you've seen it speed up, right? So that's kind of a good thing for our community. But Jeff, I know you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Well, that was just a comment I wanted to make. But I will tell you, I had a Zoom call with Stan Shepard a week or two ago because I made some noise about understanding exactly how noise was measured. It was a very useful conversation, and I told Stan that he should be a little more specific with the committee and maybe the START committee as well as the Burien Airport committee about just how much work they're doing, when they're doing it, what the schedules are, and what the process is like.
So one of the challenges in sharing things externally is making sure that the commissioners know about it first, right?
What a good idea.
Like, since they're the ones footy, they're making sure that we're paying the bill on it. So that's one of the challenges. And I know they're supposed to do a presentation to commission. I'm trying to remember when it is, but I've had the same conversation with staff because I would like to see this information shared as well. How many homes have been completed? How many homes are eligible? How many homes, this kind of a status report, right? And so I think part of it's just making sure that the elected officials who are putting the money into making sure that we meet our obligations are finding out what those numbers are before it gets shared more broadly. So
will that be part of the annual report? The START annual report?
No, it's the noise program isn't tied to START. So,
okay.
So I think, well, is there any other more questions for Dave? Well, thank you, Dave. I thought that was a good presentation. I think that the committee looks forward to, having those discussions, and maybe it's points of discussion to bring the commissioners, invite the commissioners to this committee meeting. We're the last city left with the airport committee. And this committee, I've seen it develop over time. And I think we've gotten to a place where, Dave, you're able to come in, not only educate us, inform us, we're able to really have that dialogue. But I think it's important for us is that we let our community members know, right, that's that there is work being done. Now, I can tell you that some of the work that, you know, to remediate some of these homes, you know, bless the contractors that are willing to go out there and do that. And bless the coordination, because there's people living in the condominiums. You got to make sure everybody's stuff is okay. Make sure that dust is not getting everywhere. So there's a lot to be said about remediating condominiums and homes, right? So it's just not an easy task. And so I've really appreciated the work behind the scenes. And so I think that for us, it's important that we reciprocate that to our community members and for people that live under the flight path. And I can tell you that even I sometimes forget, Dave, the work that you all are doing, because my shop is right underneath the flight path and you can probably hear some of the planes going through right now. And so, you know, you're trying to have a conversation outside and so you kind of get fueled a little bit. And so I can see, I can sympathize with our community members why they get a little hot.
No, I live in Des Moines. I have not moved. and believe me, I'm aware of the aircraft that are flying by as well. So, I appreciate this opportunity. You know, again, use the reference document that I provided. I know you're going through, I know the city's going through its AMBOM and Boulevard Park sub-area plans. There may be something within those other codes. Burien's code is very similar to a lot of the others, though. You really have a number of things dialed in pretty well, actually, interestingly, when it comes to the noise and sound transmission piece. But some of the other things in terms of compatibility, whatever, you may want to take a look at. But anyhow, you've got the reference information to be able to take a look at. So.
Thank you, Dave. That leads us right into an update on environmental impact statement for Boulevard Park and plans. So that's our next subject. Thank you very much again for presenting today. Our very own Alex Hunt. Go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for that great segue in. My name is Alex Hunt. I'm a planner with the Community Development Department. I'm also joined this evening by Susan McLean, Community Development Director. I'll be speaking briefly on the AMBOM and Boulevard Park Community Plan, specifically the environmental impact statement that we're getting started on here. And I've got 5 minutes allotted, so I'm going to try to be brief and get through this. Next slide, please. Thank you. To reorient folks to the project here, we're doing sub-area planning for the AMBOM corridor as well as Boulevard Park, establishing a 20-year vision for growth. And then along with that, laying the foundation for that growth through zoning amendments and amendments to our land use development standards. And tonight I'll be focusing a little more specifically on Boulevard Park because of its location in the flight path. And then as a reminder of why we're doing this work, this city council has called upon us to do community planning work in Boulevard Park specifically because it was annexed in 2010, and we've heard community support and vocalization for investment and community planning and taking a closer look at this neighborhood. There's some quality of life improvements that are greatly needed here. And so we want to take a closer look and see how we can support the community's vision for this neighborhood over the next 20 years in our capacity as the city. So we were awarded a Department of Commerce grant that is the Washington State Department of Commerce. And we received $250,000 to conduct transit-oriented development implementation. So this grant's going to support the work under the current AMBOM and Boulevard Park sub-area planning scope. And it's also going to expand that scope to allow us to conduct a planned action environmental impact statement. I know that's a pretty dense term. So on the next slide, I'll go ahead and unpack that and explain exactly what we're doing here. So a planned action environmental impact statement, or a planned action EIS, it's essentially upfront environmental analysis of future land use scenarios. So like I said, we're going to be taking a look at zoning and land use and how we plan for the future of this neighborhood through the growth of the neighborhood and how the land is developed over time. So we'll be looking at this from a number of different angles. How is this growth going to impact transportation, land use, housing, jobs, utilities, public services, and then equity metrics as well. So what I mean by that is, are proposals going to have disproportionate impacts on vulnerable communities or those communities furthest from justice? So basically, this work consists of developing and analyzing land use scenarios. So thinking about the future land use, playing that out in terms of a scenario, how is development likely to progress? And then what are the likely environmental impacts under those scenarios? And then on top of that, what are the measures required to mitigate any environmental impacts? So that's just in a nutshell what a planned action EIS kind of consists of. Next slide, please. And here's where we're at with project schedule as of now. In the next few months here in the spring, we will be doing EIS scoping. So that's looking at what focus areas we want to analyze in this EIS. Existing conditions report, establishing an environmental baseline, basically analyzing what's there now and how that impacts the different environmental aspects I mentioned earlier. Developing action alternatives, basically planning out how do we organize different growth scenarios? And I'll go into that a little bit more in a second. And then in mid to late 2022, we will be actually diving into the analysis, the environmental analysis of those actions. And then we'll be drafting an environmental impact statement for public review. And then through the public review and community engagement process there, we're gonna identify a preferred growth alternative. And then late 2022, early 2023, we're going to prepare that final EIS document and take it through the legislative process and get that planned action ordinance, the actual changes to the zoning through that legislative process. Next slide, please. Okay, so our first steps here, the environmental impact statement scoping, that's thinking about what are we going to take a closer look at with this environmental impact statement. In my last conversation with you all with the airport committee, you know, not surprisingly, airport issues were top of mind. Specifically, I think noise was brought up, as you know, as we've just heard, and particulate pollution. Those have been brought up before, so we'll certainly be taking a look at those. And then I, you know, welcome you, and I'm, you know, would be curious to hear if there are any other topics that this group we want to see included in that scoping for what we're looking at with this EIS. And then another step coming up here is to develop action alternatives. So the State Environmental Policy Act, which guides this process, AKA SEPA, requires a no action alternative. So that's what happens if the city takes no action here, and two action alternatives. So two different scenarios, for the future of land use in Boulevard Park. So we'll be figuring out how are we going to organize those two scenarios and how are we going to analyze the alternatives. So that concludes my very brief presentation on just what we're starting now with this EIS process. I'd be happy to answer any questions you all may have if there's time, but if not, I have my email address here. I'd be happy to talk to any of you that way, or if you'd like to set up another way to communicate.
Thank you so much, Alex and Susan, for the presentation today. Committee, is there any questions for Alex, Susan? Well, it's exciting that we're getting some work started there in Boulevard Park, so be an exciting summer. So thank you so much, Alex, for this report today.
Thank you.
I will get an update on START, the Stakeholder Advisory Roundtable, and this will be our very own city attorney. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. So start meeting on February 23rd, somewhat related to the presentation you just heard. There is a substantial amount of grant funds, a little more than $6 million that I believe is being anticipated for environmental purposes, trees, community gardens, and other things. That money, of course, is going to the port. The port informed us that the SAMP, which was anticipated to be available in February, mid-February, has now been pushed back to October 30th of this year for publication. The explanation was it was extended due to NEPA. So obviously I know there was a great deal of anticipation and we're still waiting, but it's understood that that isn't necessarily the fault of the port or anyone else. It's just the circumstances as they explained it. They also explained concerning the SAMP that they're anticipating a 30-day notice before the issuance of the draft SAMP, and they're considering 45 days, but we'll ask the FAA for 60 days for review. Just so that you know, the city of Burien, in conjunction with other jurisdictions, have hired a consultant or a firm to actually review the SAMP, because obviously it's going to be very, very extensive, very lengthy, and it is to some degree a very technical document. So there is some preparation has already gone and is already taking place. Interesting point that the FAA or representative of the FAA raised was that there needs to be a request that the port submit, or excuse me, that there needs to be a request, a written request by the port to the FAA for an extended comment period. When asked, the representative from the port explained that there were certain considerations that couldn't be disclosed at that time that make them hesitant to make that written request at this moment. Accepting that is being reasonable. Clearly there's something that the port's aware of that we're not aware of at this point. I think the important takeaway for us is evidently we need to ask the port to make that written submittal so that the FAA would consider extending the comment period. So that's something that you have a little bit of time, but you should certainly consider whether or not you want to make that request. And then there are other things discussed, but the port did share that they were considering changes to the airport layout. They were considering making changes with respect to the run-ups of the planes, considering installing additional barriers and shielding, restricting operations, and having additional land use controls. So those are the things that came from the SAMP meeting. I do just want to kind of make reference to some materials that I believe were forwarded to the BAC concerning some suggested SAMP mitigation needs. I hope that you see them in your packet. If you'd like for me to read them to you, I certainly can, but I figure if you have them, you can either have already read them or can read them at your convenience. And that's my update, unless I'm reading the mitigation needs. That's my update from the START meeting from February 23rd.
Thank you. Thank you very much, City Attorney. Committee members, is there any questions for our City Attorney? All right, thank you so much. Appreciate that presentation. We were gonna be going to, update on briefing to council on Burien Airport Committee activities on March 28th. Well, this will be, we will not have that from council, from Deputy Mayor, from Mayor Aragon. And we have a work, unless there's some questions there, the work plan, if there's some questions of the work plan. Oh. Okay, how about the federal legislative update? I mean, I don't, you know, that's Mayor that was gonna give us an update. And so we'll have to wait for her. And I think it'll be a better update as she is in DC. At the National City Conference, something like that, National City Alliance Conference, or I remember the name of it. Is there any other questions or any other business that needs to be brought before the committee?
Yes, just one other thing. Yes. Mr. Javier I believe Tortable, and I may, if I'm saying your last name wrong, I apologize. He has shared that he is resigning from the board. He has certain obligations that require his greater attention. And this is certainly a great opportunity to thank Mr. Tortable for his time. He actually indicated that he was hoping to have already been finished, but he actually attended tonight just to make sure that the BAC had a quorum. And so I appreciate that. So thank you very much for your time and for your efforts, and best of luck in all of your future endeavors.
Well, I'd like to, thank you, Javier. You know, when you came on the committee, the committee needed your help, your leadership, your attitude, and, you know, having somebody that was objectively looking at things. And I want to thank you for, you know, serving this committee, serving in a very professional, in a very respectful way. And even when we're going through challenges, you know, it was, you know, you just been great on this committee, and sorry to see you go, but I know that just life gets busy, and we hope to have you serve on another committee or this committee in the future. So again, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Is there anybody else that would like to say some words?
Thank you, Councilmember Martin, and thank you very much, Mr. Newsom. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be in the committee for the past 2 years, I think. Unfortunately, it's, you know, like you said, you know, life gets very busy, and it's a little bit hard for me to commit to the time that I would love to spend. But I'm not moving anywhere. I'm still in Burien, so I'm still an interested party to make sure that you know all the issues that we've been talking about for the past few years, you know, continue moving along. So thank you very much to everybody. I hope, you know, I have the chance to, you know, maybe meet you outside of the Burien Airport Committee.
You can come visit us every, you know where we're at on the airport committee days. Thank you. Well, I'll entertain a motion. A motion to adjourn. Do I got a motion to adjourn?
To adjourn.
Okay, we got a motion to adjourn by Stephen. And is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we got a second. All those in favor, raise your hand.
Aye.
Enjoy your afternoon. Thank you so much. See you
later. Thank you. Bye-bye.